51. The ants leaped into overdrive. They counted and catalogued and quantified. They gave him more details than he wanted to know. The thing's arms stretched out and lashed around the first ring. It had half a dozen cable-like fingers. Each of them had seven knuckles. They wrapped all the way around the broad ring like tentacles. The hand was on the end of a long, stitch-covered arm. Mike counted two elbows on the limb. A second hand reached out and slapped itself down on the opposite side of the door, and then a third hand reached out of the rings to grab alongside the first one. Jamie skittered away from the ramp and almost crashed into Mike. Sasha did the same and ended up near Olaf's impaled body. She shifted away, but the thing on the pathway held her gaze.
"What the fuck is that?"
The slender figure dragged itself through the door. It was tall, with too many joints in its legs and arms. Mike saw black, ragged armbands on each limb. It took a moment to identify the lines as stitches. He saw the coarse threads, and his aunts pulled up an image of the bugman's cloak. Its limbs didn't bend. They coiled like snakes as they sought purchase in the world, dragging a bent torso after them. The creature pulled itself through the door and stretched up to full height on the pathway. Each leg consisted of multiple limbs sewn together, end to end, to make a single long one. Each had three knees. Each arm had been rebuilt the same way, with two elbows leading back to a swollen, stitch-covered shoulder. A third arm was sewn into place under the figure's right armpit. The torso looked like two bodies stacked one on top of the other, with another line of coarse threads where hips met shoulders. There were five nipples and two navels. He couldn't be sure, but it looked like there were extra vertebrae in its neck. Its head looked tiny on such an overextended body. The ants pulled up various anatomical images and jammed up as the conflicting facts told Mike how impossible the creature was. Such a thing couldn't move. Such a thing couldn't live. It swayed on the pathway for a moment as it looked around the room. It took a few slow, wheezing breaths and clicked like the bugman had that morning. Then it turned to face them. It looked like it had been human once. Its upper lip had been cut into a dozen thin flaps, like a mustache of fleshy tendrils. Its hair had been pulled out, leaving scars and scabs across a bald head. One of its nostrils had been slit open to the bridge of the nose. The right eye was gone. Two beady orbs glared out of the raw mess of the socket. Its lips pulled back into a smile that showed human teeth. Regular, normal teeth in a monster's face. The remains of the croissant he'd had hours ago swirled around in Mike's stomach. The ants spun and thrashed and fought in his mind, searching for a point of reference. The only stable part, the only part not flailing to find something logical in the illogical monster, was focused on the detonator. He didn't look at it. He didn't want to draw attention to it. The slender monster looked back over its shoulder and made a sound that fell somewhere between an angry laugh and a bark. Another cloaked, lopsided figure with a spear stepped through the door. Then another one, and another. The monster focused on Mike and leaned forward. Its two right hands let go of the ring. It balanced on the left arm as it dropped off the pathway. It landed on Black's corpse and something crunched in the body. As it stepped away, two more bugmen came through the door to fill the space it had left. The patchwork man loomed over them. Mike had seen that expression on kids in the cafeteria and pets at feeding time. It plucked the pistol from Mike's hand, passed the weapon between its long nailed fingers, and tossed it over onto the workstation. The creature's gaze passed over Jamie and then Sasha. It sniffed the air around them twice, and what was left of its nose wrinkled as it did. It looked at Olaf's body propped up by spears and ran one of its spidery fingers across the dead man's scalp. It moved on to Weaver, touching and examining her slumped form, before it placed a clawed digit against her temple and toppled her body into the surrounding moat of blood.
Well,
it said. The voice was wet and lispy as it filtered out between the slashed lips, although Mike wasn't sure if it was the lips or a certain prissiness the voice had. An attempt to sound proper and important. The voice was uneven, as if it hadn't spoken, or maybe hadn't spoken English, in years.
This is looking to be a wonderful day.
It straightened up and wrapped its arms back and forth across its chest. Its head tilted back and it glared down the ruined nose at them. It made a few clicking noises like the bugman, as if settling back into a more comfortable language. One of the creatures gnashed its teeth. Three of the ones on the platform turned to the rings. The sound of ripping tape filled the main floor again. The four charges were pulled free. One of them was torn in half, and the bugman sniffed at the exposed material. It poked at the white putty with a clawed finger. The patchwork man made another noise, and the cloaked figures vanished back through the door with the explosives. The remote still sat on the pathway. It had been knocked aside, closer to the base of the rings, but it looked undamaged. Dylan's rifle had moved, too, and the stock was close enough to the device that at a glance they might pass for a single object. But there were no more charges on the rings. One vanished, four taken away. Weaver hadn't had time to attach her spare. Mike wasn't sure where it had ended up, or if it had a detonator in it. He'd seen a short video on C4 once. He knew it needed a detonator. Fire or gunshots wouldn't set it off. Maybe the patchwork man knew that, too. His mind raced through possible scenarios and solutions. The ants listed obstacles and assets. Four bugmen left in the room, thought Mike, and the tall thing. Against him, Jamie and Sasha, plus a pile of marine equipment they didn't know how to use. He came up with three options. He didn't have the resources for any of them. Sasha shuffled over to join them. One of the bugmen had circled around to flank her. It was bleeding from its high shoulder. It took another step toward them, reached out, and wrenched the spear out of Olaf's shoulder. The body tipped and thudded to the floor. His eyes were half open. The tall monster looked down at them and blinked its one human eye. It walked around them. It moved like an octopus, each limb curling up and then stretching back down. Mike turned to watch it. So did Jamie and Sasha. They shuffled to keep their distance from the stitched together thing, and something bumped Mike's heel. They'd backed up to Black's body, less than 10 feet from the remote.
So fortunate,
the patchwork man lisped through his shredded lips.
First to feed our great lord.
It moved to the ramp. They slid away again, backing toward the tanks. It let them move away. Its mouth pulled into a tight grimace. The remote slipped away in Mike's peripheral vision. Then he blinked, and when he opened his eyes, things were different. Pattern recognition kicked in. As a child, he'd always been good at the game where there were two similar pictures with a collection of differences. He'd always been able to solve them in seconds, faster than he could write down the answers or say them aloud. It took him 4 seconds to spot all the differences on the main floor. At the workstation, the cushions on one of the chairs had changed from dark green to dark blue. In his peripheral vision, there were now 3 black tool chests. On the far side of the room, a second warning light had appeared on the wall, and he counted off more seconds. One by one, the others noticed the changes. The patchwork man stared behind them. Mike glanced over his shoulder to see one of the bugmen studying a 4th nitrogen tank that had appeared. Sasha looked at the chairs. The bugman that had corralled her twisted its head to the tank to see what had caught her eye. Jamie looked at the light, and then her eyes slid over to...
Look at me,
whispered Mike. She turned and stared at his cheek, then at his left eye. She took 3 deep breaths through her nose and let them whistle out as she tried to get control.
Look at the tool chests. How many are there?
Did you see the...
Don't. How many tool chests?
Jamie swallowed.
4. 3 black ones... and the silver one.
She blinked.
No, wait. It's gold now. Gold with black trim, I think.
Good. Don't look at it. Try to tell Sasha. She can't look at it.
She nodded and shifted her feet. Her hips swiveled and carried her over towards Sasha. He made a point of staring up at the patchwork man. It noticed him after a moment and stared back. The 2 small eyes were just black dots, but the human eye looked down at him. Its lid blinked in a slow, deliberate manner. In his peripheral vision, he could see the rings, not quite in the corner of his eye, but close to the 10 o'clock position. The monsters hadn't been looking at the rings when the change happened. They still weren't looking. In their minds, the ring was the one place trouble couldn't come from. Up at position 14, a loop of duct tape had reappeared. It was a 3-inch strip of silver against the off-white of the plastic housings, easy to overlook among all the supports and hoses and cables. He could just see the C4 charge poking out between the two rings.